From beach towels to tea towels, and from mugs to water bottles, the TNT shop has it all. Browse our shop now at tntradio.live. You're listening to Digging Deeper with D.D. Denslow on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome to TNT Radio with me, D.D. Denslow, on Digging Deeper. I was just talking to author and writer Graham Taylor. I find him a very interesting, and I found him to be very honest in his conversation. Although his opinions on the mainstream media and journalists are not in line with my own opinions in terms of how they behaved throughout the pandemic period, but quite clearly, looking at the live chat, not in line with the opinions of our audience. And I need to remind people, yeah, and people don't like this, but there are people waking up, but they are waking up in their own way, in their own right, in their own time, yeah. And people are at different places in that process. And actually, you could describe the process of waking up as an ongoing, forever process. You are not on the wait to everything, because every 10 minutes you get caught out by something. When we all do, we don't always immediately recognize the psychological operations or the fear campaigns. We could be caught out by anything. And I think some people take longer to go through the waking up process than others. And Graham may well be in that position. So I appreciate him coming on and his commentary. And here on TNT, all opinions matter. It's not just the opinions that we as hosts or the audience agree with. Otherwise, we are as bad as the mainstream media by providing just one narrative. And we don't want to do that here on TNT. All opinions matter. Okay, coming up in a couple of minutes, I've got my friend and honorary Plymouthian, Danny Bampin. He was one of the first men on the scene with his camera to record the carnage in Plymouth City Centre on Tuesday night this week, where the council decided against the public wishes. And I do mean not just, oh, there was a small majority that didn't want the trees cut down. Like, nobody wanted the trees. About 3% said they wanted the trees to remain. And yet the council just went ahead and cut them all down under the cover of darkness. This story has made headlines around the country. It's been in every major newspaper, from the Telegraph to the Express, if you can call the Express a major newspaper. And it's even been further afield and reported abroad, which doesn't really often happen to my city in Plymouth, at once probably the most famous naval port on the planet, and now only makes news headlines when trees get cut down or there's a gun massacre. Otherwise, no one's ever heard of Plymouth. They're mistaking it for Portsmouth. Don't say that. That's swearing. Okay, I have got some audio lined up, and then me and Danny are going to go and dig a little deeper into this story, the wider implications of this story with regards to 15-minute cities, and as is going to be sort of explained in the audio, we don't seem to have the right to self-govern anymore in this country, either at a national level or at a local level. And it seems that our governments and our local authorities are just going to do what the hell they want, and they don't give a crap about the opinion of the British public. So Esther's in the studio. Big shout out to Esther. Esther, can you roll the tape, please?
I'm tempted to make a one-sentence contribution, which is, democracy, it would be a good idea, wouldn't it, if we had it? And what we're talking about here is a local area deciding how to elect their own representatives. We are not saying, this motion does not say, you have to have proportional representation, the system that we know means that the number of councillors matches the number of votes, and the council or the parliament reflects the views of the people, and that we know produces a better quality of governance. It's not saying any of those things. It's merely saying that each local area should be able to decide the system under which it governs itself. And of course, I do have to make some reference to the fact of the better quality of governance, which is demonstrably the result of proportional electoral systems. And indeed, look at the other side of this, which is what's just been happening in Plymouth City Council, where we've seen a Tory council going out in the middle of the night to cut down more than 100 trees, mature trees in the city centre, despite very significant local resistance. And that, of course, is a replay. They seem to have not learnt at all from what happened a few years ago in Sheffield, where a Labour council, again in a one-party state-type setup, was doing the same thing, sneaking round the streets in the early hours of the morning, trying to ensure that it could cut down trees against the will of residents. So we have there a case study, and it's not even a slanted in any particular direction, political direction case study, of our current system not working. But again, I stress this amendment doesn't say it's going to force a change on anyone. It's simply saying that people should be able to decide for themselves.
Yeah, I think in a democracy, Danny, I think it's quite reasonable for us to be able to decide for ourselves what happens in the places that we live. So that person just speaking was, I'm going to get more hatred, more hate mail in the messages. But that was Baroness Bennett. She is one of two Green Party peers in the House of Lords. She's actually Baroness Bennett of Manor Castle. That's her title. Nice title if you can get one. She probably paid for it for 50 quid. And she's actually just got a little square patch in some highland in Scotland, and then they've gone, "Here, you could be a lordess or a baroness," and they've chucked her into the House of Lords. But what she was actually discussing was an amendment to say, should we have a look at our political system and how we vote? Should we move to proportional representation as opposed to first past the post? And why I chose that, because it was something that was discussed in the House of Lords with regards to the situation where we find ourselves in Plymouth, where regardless of the vote or the petition that was signed by 16,000 people that said, we don't want our trees cut down, they did it anyway. So we're going to start off with this story. You've just been described in the chat, Danny, as a sane person. They've obviously not met you. How are you, mate?
I'm good, thank you. That's very kind of them. It is really quite accurate, to be fair. Natalie Bennett, you know, it's mad because I think she follows me on Twitter. Because I had a bit of a conversation with her on Twitter about the Remembrancer, because it's in their party manifesto for the last 10 years to remove the Remembrancer for Parliament. So that's about the only thing that the Greens have got right recently. But yeah, the trees, man, I mean, it's just, I don't know where to start. I mean, I was there on Tuesday night, videoed stuff, put it up on Twitter, and then I had to go. But I mean, a lot of people obviously went down there to protest and stuff, and I've seen so many of the videos, and it's just heartbreaking, and it just shows you that, you know, even like you said, you know, this very small percentage of the people agreed with taking the trees down, like less than 10%. And yet they published the consultation, the meaningful consultation process stuff on their website at like 6 o'clock. And by half past six, they've cordoned off Armada Way and police are down there, security guards. And it was just like an apocalypse. It was just nuts.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the videos. I shared the videos. Me and you contributed to actually raising the profile and making a lot of noise about what's happening here. We've also got Straw, who, because of Mother's Day, bloody mothers, were unable to come on and speak to me today. And I did actually try to get Nick Kelly, leader of the Plymouth Independent Alliance, on to talk with us as well. But Mother's Day was his excuse again, bloody mothers. So let's just go right back to the beginning. 6 months ago or so, Plymouth City Council got a pot of money from the Department of Transport to say that they could rejuvenate the city centre, which does need doing. The city centre of Plymouth hasn't been rejuvenated for a good 30, 40 years, apart
since
from
the war,
a dump.
Really?
Pardon? Yeah, since the war.
Since the war.
Yeah, the shopping centre, they put a shopping centre in, didn't they? Which is actually quite a decent shopping centre, to be fair. If we just go back 6 months, they put out a public consultation And just take it from there then, Danny. What was the decision-making process on the Tuesday night? And just I've got the concluding summary of the result of the public consultation on this piece of work in the city centre. And it said, if the total submission figures, excluding those without a name or a postcode, so they stripped some of them out, are considered, this is out of 16,000 responses, the responses demonstrate an overwhelming majority of respondents are opposed to the scheme in any way. So we didn't want anything done. The public said, no, nothing.
Yeah.
Leave it as it is. We like it. Can you then, so that's what the council got back. Then Richard Bingley, and I'll chuck it over to you because I know you're a big fan of his.
Not. But we need to rewind a bit because it didn't just happen over a period of 6 months. These rejuvenation plans and original designs were brought in by the Labour Party some 4 years ago. And then through that process of time, they've had consultations with the public, allegedly really not minimal, which has obviously come to light. And then we get to the end bit. And I think 6 months ago, they confirmed they got the funding. So you were right with that. But obviously, the plans have been taken forward by different administrations and it's got further close to the line. And I think what's happened in the council meetings, like before Christmas, you know, and again afterwards, they had these council motions where people, parties and stuff at Labour and the Plymouth Independent Alliance brought forward motions to make sure the council had a meaningful engagement with the public. So I think that one was before Christmas. So they stopped what they were doing and they said, let's have this consultation, which is you've just given some of the summary of the results of. And then what they did on Tuesday night was post that document, I think it's 80 odd pages or whatever it is, or maybe more, but post that document with the results. And then basically, as we said, cordoned off Armada Way. And in that process, Richard Bingley, the leader of Plymouth City Council, had to sign off an executive decision for that to happen. And obviously, there's many reasons why it was done at night, obviously health and safety being one of them. But the key is that they did it immediately afterwards. They did it deliberately. They did it without any further public consultation. They did it without, as you've pointed out, against the people's wishes. And I filled out that consultation stuff and said, you know, you need to leave as many trees as possible. And in the report that they had done months earlier, that there was like 12 trees were identified that were either dangerous or got diseased, and maybe those should come down. And then what they should have done is built a new plan around the existing trees. And what they've done is to have a blank canvas, it just fell as many as possible. And, you know, and that was just heartbreaking to watch and see. And now when you go into the city centre, as I know you did yesterday, and I went in on Friday and Thursday, and I was there on Tuesday night, but to see all just laid there, it's so powerful. Because it just shows you how many trees there were, how big they were, and you know, it should be left there as a reminder. But it's in the injunction with straw, because Plymouth City Council have allegedly said, "Can we remove it?" But straw have said no, because obviously it's in the injunction to stop all works, and that's what straw did on Tuesday night. Is they got their act together quite quickly. They filed an emergency judicial review, and they got immediate injunctive relief from the High Court to stop all works immediately the moment that Paul Barnard was served with that injunction. But if I was Dore, I would have done it maybe a week ago, knowing that actually this could happen. You know, they could just publish the results of the findings of the consultation and then just press the button, which is exactly what Richard Bingley did.
Yeah, he Richard Bingley, who is leader, multicoloured turncoat Richard Bingley, a man of many parties, including UKIP, Labour. He's now Conservative. He was also a guy who started to save our statues, yet probably didn't save a single bloody statue. He's a man of no fixed worldview or ideology. Me and you have both obviously met this guy. I didn't take a lie to him then in 2019 when we were discussing talking Sir John Hawkins. No, he wasn't talking Sir John Hawkins Squares. He was just talking statues, I believe.
Save our statues. But we were talking about Sir John Hawkins Square because that had kicked off and that had happened.
Oh, it had.
So
he completed an emergency executive order. There were a load of reasons given as to why it was done in such a fast-tracked way. It reduced the impact of construction on the city centre. It reduced city centre antisocial behaviour by signing this emergency order. And the only reason they had antisocial behaviour was because they had barricaded off the entire area previously, hiding people from the view of the cameras. We can come on the cameras later. Oh, there was they've made some really spurious claims on how much it was costing them not to do this work. And one of them reduces the impact of inflation. I have absolutely no idea how not cutting down these trees, cutting down these trees would reduce the impact of inflation. These are nonsensical views. There was also no environmental or ecological survey done of any real importance on this area. It was actually described by Straw as an urban forest. There were a lot of nesting birds there. There was a picture put out by a Twitter account that we're both familiar with, and it showed one of the remaining trees that were saved just full of birds, because the birds that normally would be nesting or perching in this urban forest had nowhere to go. And instead, we've left with this dystopian tract of land that just has torn right through the city centre. We're going to a break now, Danny, and I want to talk about Labour, Conservatives, and the Independent group. We've got local elections coming up. I want to understand what the pushback was by the Independent councillors in the city, and how it seems that the Tories and the Labour Party were actually on the same side, as they always are. There's no such thing as opposition in the UK. So please stay right with us on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
You know, on this show, we talk often about what's going on in the world when it comes to trans and sports and women in sports and how they're getting really screwed, and where all the women's rights groups and activists and who have been fighting for, you know, equal pay for women and women's rights and sports and equality and all that. Where have they gone? One recent example of all this, a Christian school in Vermont, girls basketball team. They were in the playoffs, and I think it was game four. This is late last month, near the end of the month. They dropped out. They forfeited the game. They dropped out of the, they lost their place in the tournament because the other team has a biological male. You know, basketball is a physical sport. I'm not sure why it took them four games to realize this, but nonetheless, they dropped out. And this kind of thing is happening. It's happening to girls, and it's all part of the plan. It all fits in, you know, groom the kids from a young age and then make them accept anybody and anything in any bathroom, no sexes, whatever. It's really, really scary.
Steve Malzberg on TNT Radio.
A better business tip from TNT Radio. The benefits of advertising on today's news talk, TNT Radio, should be clear to businesses of any shape or size. It can be accessed anywhere, anytime, by anybody, and is the perfect way to build brand awareness and stimulate digital activity. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
The conversation continues.
Our public education system, which I am now renaming our public miseducation system.
On today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And a big shout out to everybody in the chat. I've got some new people I don't normally see here on a Sunday. So big shout out to Jim and to Deep Fried Fred Bloden. Oh, Andrew C's in there. Mazzy, always a big shout out to Mazzy. Susanna, who's recently been a guest, big shout out to you, love. Here's a comment. What gets me is the mindset of the workmen cutting down the trees. Surely they knew it was wrong. Was it just another case of I'm just doing my job? A pathetic excuse that really gets my goat. Yeah, I did wonder that. I've got Danny's nodding his head here on the other side of the computer screen. Some people don't have the moral morals or conscience that us human beings have. I suspect many of those workmen, for example, who were cutting down those trees, probably wore a mask and are on jab number 5 because they live in a bubble that excludes humanity. They are, by definition, NPCs or philosophical zombies who have no qualia, and that's something that we've all discovered about the rest of the human community over the last 3 years. There are real human beings and then there are NPCs. It's an unfortunate reality that we live in. Right, so I said when we come back we'd have a look at some of the politics. Oh, there'll be people screaming, don't talk politics, they're giving them our power. So here's Luke Pollard, everyone's favorite local rainbow warrior. I am appalled at the environmental vandalism of Plymouth's Conservative-run council in chopping down 100-plus trees overnight on Armada Way, Plymouth. And he's put a thread defending Labour and himself. He's been doing this repeatedly all week since this tree massacre occurred. And the reality is Labour had the opportunity to stop this, didn't they, Danny?
They did indeed, Darren, yes. On the council meeting on January the 30th, independent councillor Stephen Hume for Ham Ward brought forward the motion, which I think we both shared on Twitter earlier, which basically said this: one, to record its dissatisfaction with the lack of public engagement on the public realm works in Armada Way; two, to request the cabinet to immediately suspend all works and review the scheme with a view to saving significantly more trees than currently proposed. That was seconded by Councillor Patrick Nicholson, who's also independent, and they're both both members of the Independent Alliance in Plymouth, and Patrick's up for election as well in May. And basically, what happened in the vote was that the Conservatives opposed it, so they were all whipped to oppose it. And I think it was the vote, I've got it here. The Conservatives have voted against it was 15. There was 3 people, councillors, who were not there, so they were absent and did not vote at all. Okay. And then you had all the independent councillors, Councillor Beer, Hume, Councillor Kelly, Councillor Nicholson, Chaz Singh, and Manny Bridgman vote for it. And then the rest of the councillors, including the Labour, all 25 of them abstained, and also all 3 Green Party members as abstained as well. It's absolutely shocking. So for Luke Pollard to say all that stuff, and they've not got a leg to stand on, neither of the Green Party. It's as simple as that.
I mean, why the hell did the Green Party choose to abstain on a vote to protect 129 trees in what has been described as an urban forest? It's the best part of the city centre, especially in the summer when all the trees have got their leaves. it's hard to fathom, and it makes you wonder what.
Yeah, well, it does make you wonder. But what's even more interesting, they've come out now and said they want an inquiry. So I'll tell you what the inquiry will find, that they could have stopped it, yeah, and they could have voted for the trees. I challenged the Plymouth Green Party on Facebook, yeah, because they put up a post about it saying we're going to ask for an inquiry. So I put up the results of the thing. I put up the video, which is on YouTube. You can watch it. You know, shared it on Twitter earlier. It's there. You can actually watch it happen right in front of your eyes. And so I said to them, you've not got a leg to stand on. Oh yeah, we have, because our votes wouldn't have mattered. But the thing is, they would have mattered with your position now, because you would have been able to say we voted with the motion, and you know, we supported the motion because we wanted to save the trees. Judah Evans is going to take control likely of Plymouth City Council after these May elections, mainly because the people of Plymouth will be hoodwinked now into thinking the Conservatives brought the trees down and it wasn't Labour's fault. Well, it was Labour's plan from the start. Yeah. They've got Richard Bingley to execute their plan under his name. Yeah. And then they're going to go, and then people of Plymouth are going to go, oh, might as well vote Labour. What the people of Plymouth now need to do is wake up to reality and realise there's a reason why they've never had an independent candidate, an independent councillor voted in. All the people that currently sit in the Plymouth Independent Alliance were actually originally voted in with their party rosettes on. So it's this time around, may the 4th be with you, yeah, use the force and vote for every independent candidate that's on that ballot paper on May the 4th. And maybe over a period of a few years, we can get take the party out of politics in Plymouth and have an independent council where people are not forced or whipped or told how to vote, and they vote for the what is best for their constituents and not what's best for their party. There's a place in Somerset called Frome, and Frome in Somerset years ago, over a decade ago, removed party politics locally. So they don't have any party politicians, any party candidates, any party councillors on their council. They are all independent. And I think if we had that, I mean, if you applied that to Parliament, because if you realise that when Parliament was set up and it was intended, it was built for independent people to represent people independently. And as soon as the banks come in and created the Tory party, and then the Remembrancer came in and they control the money in the City of London and all that stuff, you can just see how it's completely controlled. And now you've got this tribal voting that's installed in everybody, like brainwashed since birth, vote red, vote blue, and then you get the occasional yellow, green and orange or whatever. But effectively, right across the world, it's Republican Democrats. It's Labour Conservatives. It's Everton Liverpool. Yeah. It's Arsenal Chelsea. It's do you see what I mean? It's Man City, Man United, Liverpool Everton. It's just there, installed, like subliminal, like I suppose like the Ukraine flag is now.
Yeah. Do you think then, stick on the sort of local politics, because yeah, we have got the local elections coming up. I'm almost certain that the Tories in my city and across the country are going to get their asses absolutely panned. A lot of them are going to be losing the seats. In fact, I had someone contact me on Wednesday after these trees have been cut down, saying he had been speaking to people, he had heard rumours, and that the Conservative councillors in Plymouth knew that they were about to lose their seats, that there was no possible way they could win after the behaviour of the Conservatives nationally, and decided that in order to secure budgets for projects next year, this was one of the reasons why this decision was made. They wanted to make sure the finance was secured for another 12 months before they lost their seats. And that is actually the very nature of local authorities. I used to work in procurement for Plymouth City Council. It's the 3 years of my life that I won't be able to get back, unfortunately. It was a horrific, almost traumatic experience. In fact, it was more traumatic than seeing the trees cut down. That's how bad working for Plymouth City Council was. So that's saying something, because I was upset seeing those trees. Do you think the Plymouth Independent Alliance, in which you will be standing as a councillor, Danny, do you think that this is the year in which they have an opportunity to actually win some seats and get rid of some of these, what can only be described as society's rejects, out of local authority and decision-making for our city? And could we possibly be seeing this across the country in general, where more independent people who represent their communities get into positions of power or decision-making for those cities?
Yeah, I can see it happening. I can certainly see the feelings and the tides turning and stuff. I think ultimately there's a few things that have to come into play, though. People have to realise that, voting Conservative is not going to get them anywhere. Look what they've done with COVID, with the economy, especially, or if you look at, obviously, locally, what they've done recently is just going to kill them at the ballot box in May. And so then you start to look at Labour, and we know locally that Labour have never been good for this city. And so, yeah, I do see the tide turning. I do see people voting for independence. And we've gone from probably having the best leader with Nick Kelly to the worst leader with Richard Bingley. We really have.
It couldn't have been worse.
And Nick did a great job. You know, he got a really good result for the Conservatives. And they attacked him because I know why, but I won't say on the radio, there's loads of reasons why. But they did that coup. And Labour voted Bingley in. A lot of people don't know that. Yeah? And I think they broke the rules when they did it because Conservatives put two people forward and Labour didn't put anybody forward. Yeah, I mean, if everybody, all the Labour people voted, Tudor Evans could have got back in then, and that would have been just before the election. So, and this is the thing: Tudor is he could have taken control of the council after the January by-elections, which, by the way, was brought forward by a motion brought forward by the Independent Alliance to get rid of two Conservative councillors that were sat there on the council, but were lived in Gloucester. And they've been there for like a year and stuff. And I know that, you know, that they brought that motion. They forced them to resign, the Plymouth Independent Alliance. So the other thing that's really important, and I know we've discussed this on Twitter and we've discussed this in person the other day, is I know that there's a mentality with people saying, oh, if voting changed anything, it would be illegal. Yeah, that Mark Twain kind of quote. Yeah. I get that.
Sorry.
But if there was if none of the above was on the ballot paper, people would get off their asses and go and tick that box, and it would win hands down every time. And what they've got to understand is those people, the 60, 65, 70% of the people in local elections, they're on the electoral roll, but they don't exercise their voice. They don't exercise their and then those are the people that say, oh, it won't change anything. Yeah. And then those are the same people that moan about the council. Yeah. And moan about the trees being cut down. But that the reason why Labour and Conservatives get in all the time is because of tribal voting and because of the apathy or empathy or whatever you want to call it of people who don't vote. And what it needs is for those people to come out and actually vote, but not vote for a party, just vote for an independent person who's going to represent you independently and not represent a party first. And that's the mentality we've got to get out to people. If you've got an independent candidate on the ballot paper, then go and give them your vote, because that would change democracy. That would change Plymouth. It would change Britain if we did it on a national scale and got rid of Johnny Mercer and Gary Streeters and Luke Pollards of this world and voted in somebody who's there. It's not a party politician. It's not a politician, you know, a career politician. Yeah, who's there for a party. Like, look at Gary Streeter. Whoever takes his seat, they're on a career path for the next gravy train for the next 20 years because people keep voting Tory, yeah, and people keep voting Labour. But what it really means is that you've got the silent majority, the no voters, who don't really think they've got a voice, don't really think it will change anything. But actually, if they got up off their asses and voted on May the 4th in Plymouth, we could change this city overnight, and it would be a massive news story. Look, all the independents got in. That would be a mass. It would be a global news story. The change of people's perceptions overnight.
And over the coming weeks, because we are now entering into the local election cycle. It's May the 4th is the local elections. If you are listening to me on TNT Radio, I would like to hear from you if you're planning to stand as an independent councillor. Hey, me and Danny would like to hear from you if you want to know about standing as an independent councillor, not just in Plymouth, but up and down the country. And you are right, 100%. Changing the tribal vote is impossible. It reminds me of the conversation, repeated it before, going to repeat it again, that you were there on the hoe. There were two elderly ladies in 2021 when both me and you stood as independent councillors. And they agreed with everything that we were saying about, hey, if you keep voting red or blue, you're going to get the same old crap. They're going to do the same thing to you over and over again. We keep voting it. And they were like that. Yeah, of course. You're right, Darren. You're right, Danny. And it was like, who did you vote for then? Oh, we always vote for Conservative. And I'm like talking to stupid people here. I'm talking to stupid people. You voted for them even though you knew that they were going to carry on with, at that time, masks, vaccines, lockdowns, and so on. So the tribal vote is incredibly difficult to break. But there is an alternative. There is another way. And that is to vote for independent councillors if you can. If you can't vote for somebody independent, don't put a cross in red, blue, yellow, green, pink, whatever colour it is that their little rosette says that makes them, oh, look how important I am. I'm a member of a political party. I've got a blue rosette on. Don't vote for them. Vote for the independent person who lives down the road for you, who's always lived in your town and city and cares about things more than the party politics and the diktats from central government and the establishment. So, okay, and bring it all the way back to the trees. Do you think a decision was made to cut these trees down that actually was out of Bingley's hands? We've mentioned a guy called Paul Bernard, who's a senior director of Plymouth City Council. He is an establishment man. He was worked there when I worked for Plymouth City Council in 2007. He was probably always been in Plymouth City Council and he's worked his way up to the top. Do you think that he is receiving orders from either central government or elsewhere that enforced this decision, Danny?
Yes, well, absolutely possible. I think that this decision was obviously taken probably weeks before they actually did it. It wasn't like a knee-jerk reaction or a flash in the pan thing. I think there's a number of factors you could be looking at. Obviously, the 5G argument comes into play, you know, with clearing the decks and clearing the signal and all that stuff. And then you've got the other argument about these 15-minute cities being brought in and Plymouth being earmarked to be one of them. And then you've got the other end of the scale, which is hypocritical, of the fact that, well, what about climate change? You know, what about being green? What about saving the animals and saving the trees and putting nature first and all that stuff? And I was reading today on Straw's Facebook page that the silver birch tree that they removed, or several of them, could live for up to 200 years. And guess what they're going to be replaced with? Another mature silver birch. So you think to yourself, so why don't you just leave it there? You've got the cost of taking it out, all the uproar, all the bad press associated with the city, and then you're going to leave it there in the city centre lying down. All the birds are still flocking around, or even though the birds on the trees, rather, on the side. You start to think, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? And it's not just Plymouth. We know that Sheffield have been doing it. We know that the West Midlands have been doing it. You know, towns and cities across the country have been doing this for a while now. Sheffield had an inquest into it and found to be unlawful, and they didn't follow the processes. Well, if they do the same with Plymouth, they lie. Well, we know all about Plymouth City Council lying. They even go to court and omit key evidence when somebody appeals it, don't they, Darren? You know, and then it goes into Save Our Statues, and then you've got the irony of Bingley not putting the Sir John Hawkins Square signs back up when he's got the Save Our Statues hat on. I mean, the whole thing is insane. It's so controlled. You start to look at Richard Bingley and things, where he's come from. He, first of all, 20 years ago, he was Conservative. Then he switched to Labour. He worked under Tony Blair, under Alistair Campbell in the press room. And then he goes to UKIP, becomes a councillor in Essex, and then gets Brexit over the line, rejoins the Conservative Party, moves from London, moves to Plymouth, and the Tory Party deselected somebody who's been in Plymouth for like 30 years or probably all his life, David, I know him well, nice guy, and gave that seat to Richard Bingley just because he had a suit on and he was from London, yeah? And then you look into he's got four different profiles on Companies House. You know, Save Our Statues was advertised as a non-profit thing. You go on the Wayback Machine on the internet, you can see donate buttons and PayPal address. Then when we met him and had a coffee with him, he was saying to me, oh, you should set up a crowdfunding for your appeal, Danny, for Sir John Hawkins Square. So I did it. I sent him the link. He donated 500 quid from Save Our Statues to my crowdfunder to put the Sir John Hawkins Square signs back up. Then he does a coup against Nick Kelly, does a deal with Tudor so that they vote him in this vote of motion of no confidence, and then he doesn't put the signs back up. And then my recording of the conversation gets leaked. Yeah, which didn't come from me. I gave it to the people that he talked badly about. Chaz, Nick Kelly, Maddie Bridgman. I've known these people for years. They're my friends. He totally dissed them. Yeah, so I gave them the recording. And then it went on Twitter. Then it went Plymouth Live, the police. It just goes mental after that. And he got found to be in breach of his councillor code of conduct for 6 things in 22 minutes, which must be a record, which is on his profile on Plymouth City Council's page. So he's got a really bad history, really checkered past. And you have to think, has he been installed? Where's he come from?
How did he get into his position of power? And he's actually not been a councillor in Plymouth for very long either, because he was elected the same year that I stood in 2020 and you stood in 2021. He was just elected as a councillor before you knew it. There was a coup and he was installed. And now he's making certain decisions like this one with the trees that that go right against the public opposition. Like I said, only 3, there was a couple of questions and it was between 12 and 3% of people who support this decision. You mentioned Sheffield, Danny. Back in 2010-11 time, they decided they were going to cut down 17,500 trees. Obviously, massive backlash from the public in Sheffield. They actually managed to fell thousands and thousands of trees as part of a redevelopment plan, but actually the public completely opposed it and they went and did it anyway. We saw with the vaccine narrative that Andrew Bridgen speaks up in the House of Commons like he did yesterday. They all leave. They don't want to listen. Yep. They don't want to participate in that. They've been told not to by higher powers, just as Bingley probably was by a higher power to go ahead and cut these trees down. They don't care what you want. They don't care what you think. They are going to effing do it anyway, and the only way we can stop this is, oh no, maybe we can have Darren's I don't want a violent revolution, or we can vote in where we can independent people into our local authorities. They should be the people who are making decisions for the cities and towns and villages and communities that they live in. And this, we've got an opportunity on May the 4th to do that again, once again this year. And I'm sure nobody will turn up to vote. And then those that do will vote yellow, blue, green, pink, green, rainbow colours, whatever. And then everyone complains about who we've got making decisions for us in local authorities and local government. Okay, we're going to a break now, Danny. And then when we come back, we can put our tin foil hats on and just discuss, you know, why were these trees cut down? Why are they cutting down the trees in Sheffield? Why are they cutting down trees in places like Northampton? Rick Munn said that they're doing it up in Northern Ireland. There seems to be a lot of interest in this tree story, and it's great because it crosses party lines. So please stay right with us on TNT Radio.
The World Health Organization is pushing its pandemic treaty. Global instant lockdowns. This must be stopped.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
The World Health Organization is once again pushing what the Washington Post called the Radical Pandemic Health Treaty. This must be stopped. The entire public health bureaucracy has now reinvented itself as a Marxist socialist pushing entity that must be brought under wraps. A pandemic treaty would give Bill Gates-funded scientists at the World Health Organization the ability to declare a pandemic and then see global lockdowns, global stay-at-home orders, global mask mandates, global vaccine passports. Bring back scientific debate, national sovereignty, and end the tyranny of the World Health Organization. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
St. Joseph's Indian School is much more than a school for Native American children.
It's like a family. Classes are fun here. I am learning about my culture.
Since 1927, St. Joseph's Indian School has provided children the education, health care, and support they need to succeed. To help give our kids brighter futures, learn more at stjo.org today.
If you're talking about it,
playing games with the debt ceiling is dangerous and would spell disaster.
We're talking about it. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to TNT Radio. Actually, Danny has just sent me a WhatsApp message. It's a statement made by Richard Bingley, Plymouth City Council leader. Are you able to summarise? It's quite a long statement. I haven't got time to read it all. Are you able to summarise what he has said, Danny?
Well, he was basically trying to justify his actions, I suppose, when you look at it, and going through a bit of the history of doing it and stuff, and then he points out like five things. You know, we either regenerate our city centre or we don't. There's no halfway. We are not doing anything different than any other city leadership has shown, which is true. Right?
Yeah.
The area was unsafe. The area was unsafe for women and girls due to haphazard tree coverage and poor CCTV penetration.
That's different to what they said in their consultation, which said that health and safety was compromised by the boarding and fencing that they had put up. Again, I'm looking through this as well. It's full of deceit, and they are trying to countermand the legal action put in place by Straw that's prevented them from doing any more work. What happens quickly, Danny? What happens to the what are Straw going to now do legally? I mean, they've cut all these trees down, so there's nothing we can do.
I get that, but what I was thinking today is that ultimately when they were doing it, if Straw, to be fair to them, did a good job, they got the injunction, they got the emergency JR, and they got it served on them in time. But there is clips on videos of when they chopping the trees down, but then they shredded them into, like, literally turned them into sawdust, went through that machine and into the back of that massive truck. So they're just turning all those beautiful trees into sawdust. So now you've got those beautiful trees that have been cut down. They're still there. That my idea is that Straw are saying to Plymouth City Council, no, we're not going to let you move them until the court says, which is fair enough. But do they really want to have them made into sawdust? People could use that wood. Yeah, I'm being serious here, because it's there. Yeah. It's a material. It's a fuel. You know, as a laugh, I might even go down there on Monday and set up a firewood store. Yeah, just as a bit of a joke. But actually, there with my independent flyers for where I'm standing in Moorview, by the way. Yeah, yeah, where the airport is. And that's another scandal that Plymouth's had for the last decade. But this scandal right now is right in front of our eyes. So I think what's going to happen is the injunction's they're going to try and overturn the injunction on Friday. So there's a hearing in the High Court on Friday the 24th, I believe, okay? And then there'll be another hearing a week or two after that, because that'll also be like a directions hearing for the major JR, or whether the JR is allowed. So that hearing about the injunction is really important. If Straw get to keep the injunction in place, then I think what the court might do is say to them, we're going to allow Plymouth City Council to move the dead wood. And if they do that, then if I was Straw's lawyers, well, actually I'm not, because I'm not, I don't practice, don't give anybody legal advice, but I think I'm not sure the lady's name. It was said to me the other day, but this lady barrister who's got the injunction, I think she should be saying, let's make use of the wood. Yeah. Rather than just turn it into sawdust.
Yeah.
Build something with it. Or exactly, rather than just turn it into sawdust, it's actually a commodity. You know, people could use it. People might want it as souvenirs, Darren. Honestly, I'm not joking. Put it in their garden. Yeah. You know, make a chair out of some of the stumps. I don't know. There's all sorts of things you could
do. I mean, the whole site down there has become a bit of a tourist attraction. You know, people are down there taking selfies. No, this is on the Telegraph. This is in the Tory mouthpiece newspaper, the Telegraph, and they were taking selfies. But also there are some people, and I heard in particular Luke Pollard's name yesterday, because there was a crowd of about 100, 150 people down there with some of the independent councillors from Plymouth City Council, and they were calling out Luke Pollard. They were calling out Luke Pollard specifically. He's only interested in his TV appearances, you know, the Gaylord.
He's being hypocritical, isn't he? Though he is being massive hypocritical when the Labour had more councillors yeah, had massive, more councillors than the Conservatives. Greens should have supported. It was an independent motion, so they knew the independents were going to vote for it. They would have thought, save the tree, so, well, Greens might do that, you know, logic suggests. Yeah. And then you would have thought, hold on a minute, Conservatives have opposed it. We're the opposition. Late Tudor Evans is the opposition, and he refused to support it. And all the Labour droids didn't think for the constituents, didn't think for themselves. They were only thinking about, well, I've got to vote red. I've got to do what I'm told. And there you have the perfect example of why party politics doesn't work in Plymouth. Yep. If we had independent people in those seats, this would never have happened.
And exactly the same thing is happening in Sheffield. We've had the result of an inquest into the tree felling up there, and campaigners tell their leader, you need to go, in a heated council meeting that was this week, and that they plan to vote them all out. Yes, voting might not work. Yeah, don't vote. You're giving them your power. I can hear the screams in the live chat already. Hey, it might be the only option we have is to get independent people in at local authority level, and then we can build from the bottom up. It is a way forward, another way forward. Anyway, let's get conspiratorial
you've got to beat them at their own game. The fact that the majority the majority are silent, it just says it all. If they get off their asses and vote, it'll change the world. Simple as that.
Okay. Let's get a bit conspiratorial now. A lot of people have commented on my post, your post, and another post related to these trees, or the tree story, that it's all to do with 5G. It's almost certainly to do, in the case of Plymouth, they're putting in a cycle lane. In fact, they've already put all the cycle blocks in and everything, that you can go down to this big pile of trees, and then next to it are the cycle blocks that they've just put in. The mentalists. There's someone just up the road from here. In fact, they've appeared all over the city. Do you think this tree felling is part of the overall 15-minute agenda? Plymouth is one of 100 cities targeted for this. I've got a list of all the cities here in front of me. Do you think that was what this is about? And why aren't we, if we want this green 15-minute net zero narrative to work, why aren't we making our cities greener if we want them greener, Danny?
Well, I see the argument. I see, obviously, the conspiracy theorists and say, you know, it's for the 5G and all that. You get a better signal now, that's for sure. But that's not the point. I think the point is, if they're saying they're going to replace all these trees with better trees, smaller trees that are therefore going to grow maybe in different places, maybe the way they put them in is going to make sure that the pavement doesn't crack when the roots get big and all that stuff. So maybe that's for the better in the long term. But what is the point of taking down these trees and then replacing them with more trees? So does that really help the conspiracy theories, 5G theory? Well, I don't think it does, because they're going to replace them with new trees. But the CCTV thing, I get, you know, but in the design, they've put like three ping pong tables in Armada Way. Armada Way's on a slope for a start, right? And it's a wind tunnel, right? It's a fucking wind tunnel.
That was someone screaming about that yesterday down in the city centre, about how there's just going to be this huge wind tunnel now. It's just going to blow right through the city. And it is.
You can feel it. Yeah, and it is. When the weather's bad down there, it's going to be like literally a vortex kind of thing. It's like tunneling the wet. So, but nobody's going to go in the rain on a slope in the wind to play ping pong in the city centre. I mean, what are they going to do with the bats? Where are they going to get the balls from? Yeah. You might as well bring it. I'll tell you what, we have better use, a mini golf course. Yeah. Put a mini golf course there. Yeah. I'd go and play on it. But one of the beautiful things that we have, we've got a couple of links with New York. One is we've both got a Central Park, right? And the other thing we had with New York, we're one of the only cities, if not the only city, to have outdoor chessboards on Armada Way. I've played chess there several times in the summer, and they were a really good feature. And I've written to the council, not 2,000 times this time, just once, to say, can you keep those chessboards and can you put them back into the plan in Armada Way somewhere? But there's like eight of them or six of them. There's quite a few, And they're double-ended, like there's one each on each table. And I'm saying, put a couple in Central Park, overlooking the view near the baseball thing at the bottom. Yeah, perfect location down there. And then put another two on the hoe. Yeah, because those are perfect locations to have outdoor chessboards. Yeah, but to put them all in one place on Armada Way was okay because it was unique. But now that they've took them all out and dug them all up, yeah, now they should put them back in Armada Way because they're better than having outdoor ping pong tables that are never going to be used in a wind tunnel and people are never going to play because you have to go, do you want to go and play ping pong in a wind tunnel outside? No.
It's just ridiculous. I mean, I'm a firm believer that what we are seeing happening here, Sheffield, elsewhere, Northampton, is that they're clearing the area and they're preparing our cities for no cars and for cyclists and for the 15-minute cities. But there is a key point here. Straw, who have done an amazing job, I spoke to them yesterday. They're as far away, probably as far away as possible that they can be to me politically. And yet on this one topic, we were able to have a conversation and we were able to agree. It's the tree, stupid. Let's come together. And then if you can, vote for an independent person in your council or don't vote at all. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I think it's been a very thoroughly listened to conversation. Danny, thanks for coming on. Absolute legend. And to everybody else, please stay right with us.